Welcome to the Krishnadas Pilgrim Heart Hour. This podcast is a manifestation of our interconnected lives, and we wish to keep it free at all costs, if you can say that. So, we are dependent on the generosity of you, our listeners. So, please go to mindpodnetwork.com/KD and either use the donate button or just bookmark the Amazon portal. We receive a small percentage of however much you pay for whatever you bought. Nothing extra for you, but a tangible contribution, if small, for us. You could also sign up for a free trial with the voluminous audible.com. We get something out of that, too. We thank you for the support and allowing us to continue presenting Krishnadas's excellent talks.
So what are we doing? Sitting around singing a bunch of stuff we don't know what it means? Is that for me? Must be Jesus on the mainline. Boy, that's loud, huh? It just came up by itself? We have a electrical problem in the building. That's where that buzz is. This is odd inner being. If we listen to this the whole afternoon without a word, and never strayed from it. Every time we come, you know, every time you're thinking about, oh no. Guaranteed enlightenment. This is what Maharaji said. He said, if you can bring the mind to one point, you'll see God. Being God is after that. That's a whole other thing. But seeing God is the first step. If you can bring the mind to one point, so forget about it. We can't do that. But that's what really all spiritual practice is about, essentially. The first step is beginning to have some vote over how you live in the moment. Usually we're just beaten up by our thoughts and emotions, and then we're dead. That's what we call life. And we never have a vote about how we feel. And we're at the mercy of all these thoughts and emotions. And we believe everything we think. Have you noticed that? That's what they call insanity. We believe everything we think. And we never question it. Somebody looks at us cross-eyed and we think they hate us. Then we find that they actually are cross-eyed. And meanwhile, we've gone on a like 3-day rampage about how miserable that person is to us and why could they look at us that way and they must be saying terrible things behind my back. And what did I ever do to that guy? Yes, maybe I beat him up when we were in junior high school, but that was nothing. You know, I was forced to do that. And, you know, and then you find out the guy's cross-eyed. And you spent 3 days of your life completely mishuga. So what are we going to do? How are we going to get through this without really being, how are we going to get sane? Is that going to ever happen? Is there any possibility that we're going to get sane? Well, when we do these chants, for instance, the way I present the practice, which is the way I do it, more or less, which is you sing, and the moment you notice you're not paying attention, you come back. And then you do that again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again. If you're paying attention, you'll probably notice you have to do that 5 million times in the blink of an eye. Because that's what happens. We're incapable of paying attention. So we gather together like this, and we add a little music, and we add these mantras, these names, what they call in India the names of God. Because these names have presence. These are the names. You know, in India they say the name of God. This is the way they talk. The name of God and God are not different. I know this doesn't mean a lot to Westerners. Even me. God. I don't know. What's God? Who's God? Where is she? So, but let's just think about it. They say the name and what is named are not different, which means if we were actually paying attention and our karmas were ripened enough that we could bring 100% of ourselves to this moment and say and focus on that name would open us up. We would be opened up to our own divinity, our own beauty. We would experience fully the love that lives within us as who we really are. Not who we think we are. That's just the crazy shit that we believe. But who we really are. We think all the time. We think we are who we think we are. That's insane. But it's okay because everybody around us is doing the same thing. So we feel normal. That's your first clue. If you feel normal, that you're completely insane. So this is just how we approach this. You know, when you meet somebody and you enter into a relationship with them, little by little, you find out more about that person. You learn more about that person. And you learn more about yourself. And you see new things and you find out new things. It's not always, the whole truth is not there at the beginning. Sometimes you get a little taste of it and you run the other way. Sometimes you get a taste of it and you say, oh, I want more of this. So in this case, what these names really are is beyond what we can understand. They don't come from our mind or our emotions. These names, they call revealed names. It means that there's some being introduced this name into the world as a vehicle, as a doorway into truth, into reality. That's what a revealed name is. And so they say that through the repetition of these names, gradually but inevitably, the presence within us is uncovered. Our own true being is uncovered. Not somebody else's being, which ultimately turns out to be the same, but you can't take somebody else's clothes off without getting into a fight, unless it's agreed on, you know. But first we have to take off our stuff, all the stuff we cover ourselves with. All the stuff we think and believe, all our fears, all our selfishness, all our greed, all our shame and guilt. The stuff we love so much, you know. We have to take a look at that because that's what's covering us up. But we don't have the strength to do that until we do a practice, because from a practice you move more deeply into yourself, and then that stuff is easier to let go of. Then it becomes possible to let go of that stuff because you're no longer identifying with it immediately. Or you identify with it, but then you kind of go, what? Wait a minute. And then you get a vote. Maharaji say, go on, sing your lying false Ram Ram. Go on, keep doing it. One of these days, you'll say it right once and the real Ram will come and that's it. One, if we could say wholeheartedly one time. But it's not just a question of willfully saying, okay, I'm going to say it wholeheartedly. No way. It's a question of really being able to give yourself completely to something, 100%. Because we can't do that. Very difficult to do that for us. We're so fragmented. We're brought up that way. Too many channels on television. So the minute we get slightly bored, we're trained to go somewhere else. Boom, 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 boom. Click, 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 click. So it's a gradual process. Anybody who says enlightenment, full, final enlightenment, is an immediate situation, it's not taking into account the billions of births that it took to get there and train ourselves for that. So I don't even talk about enlightenment. I don't know what it is. I talk about trying to live in a good way, you know, become a good human being. It's almost impossible. Think about others. You know, if we could do one thing, Who was that guy? Some little-known saint said, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Just that much. Try one day. Forget it. Try 1 hour. Just doing that. Being aware of that and trying to spend 1 hour treating other people at least the way you would like to be treated. Everybody will love you to death by the end of an hour. You won't believe what happens. But we react. Somebody says something, we react. Somebody does, because people are projecting on us and we're projecting on them, and our projections have boxing gloves on. And you go like this, you go like this, you hit left hook, right hook, bam, oh, you know. This is what we do. So why we need a practice is because otherwise we don't get a vote. We don't get a chance to wake up. Chanting is a very interesting practice. It has instant benefits, but it also has long-term benefits. Because while we're here singing, you might be enjoying it, which is allowed. But at the same time, we're also planting seeds. Because every action we do in life is plants a seed of some kind or another. And those seeds grow. And then we have to live with whatever grows, which is not always a lot of fun. And sometimes it's a lot of fun, sometimes it's too much fun. So that's why the way I present this practice this practice is taught many different ways by many different people all around the world. Some people teach it in a very Indian way, because it certainly comes from India, this version of practice. But the repetition of the name is in every religious tradition and every spiritual tradition. They may call it something else, but name is not just like Frank or Tom or something else. Name is a real bona fide mystery. And they say through the repetition of these names, gradually but inevitably, the inner presence, our inner being is uncovered, right? Which is an interesting concept. They're not telling us that we're creating anything that's not already there. Right? You're not creating a good person inside of you because you don't like the bad person inside of you. It's not like that. We're uncovering what's already there. And what's already there is described in many ways. But a very simple way to describe it is basic goodness. Unfortunately, we are all naturally good. And I say it unfortunately because it means we have absolutely no defense for our negative actions, for hating people, for hating ourselves, for being angry at people, for being greedy, for being selfish, for being ashamed, for having guilt. There's absolutely no good reason for that. Because inside, we are okay. That's a hard one to accept. Which is why in the East, you know, nothing works. The roads don't work, the phones don't work. Televisions don't work. Nothing works, but they're happy. In the West, everything works, and we are not happy. So, this is interesting. So these names are the names of that place within us. They're not the names. You can describe those names in many ways. You can describe them as the names of the Hindu deities, right? But What the hell does that mean? What are they? What are the Hindu deities? We don't know. Maybe they are a part of ourselves. Maybe they are a manifestation of our own true nature in another form, just like another form. Maybe they're older beings. Maybe they're aliens from another planet, like Brooklyn. Oh. Hey, I'm a Nets fan now, let's face it. The Knicks are finished. So through the repetition of these names, gradually but inevitably, which is really a very good word, it means inevitably, right? There's no question about that. It's inevitable, which is good. Since we're usually running in the wrong direction, then don't matter. We're going to wind up in the right place, inevitably. But it could be a long inevitable. But still, it's going to happen. It's a done deal. If we're born, boom, it's inevitable. That's the way it works. That's the way it is. So what do we do in the meantime, you know? After all, there's only 4,000 channels on television. It gets boring after 10 or 12 years of constant watching. So through the repetition of these names, gradually but inevitably, this inner presence, our own presence, who we really are, is uncovered. Uncovered, right? Little by little, because if it happens too fast, they put you away. Which, it might not bother you at that state. You might think, wow, this is a great place to practice. I don't have to do anything. There was a great, great saint in India in the late 1800s named Tajuddin Maharaj. And he was very close with Shirdi Sai Baba. He used to wander around naked all the time. He didn't know what he was doing. And he used to wander around this is the times of the English, on the tennis courts in the country clubs of the English, you know, and all those English ladies. Oh. So they threw him in a mental hospital, right? And every Saturday or Tuesday or Thursday, whatever the day is that's holy for the Muslims in India, thousands of people would come to the mental hospital to see this guy. Finally, they had to let him go, you know. He didn't know where he was. He didn't care he was in a mental hospital, no problem. It wasn't like there was anything else he would have been doing anywhere else. He was just God there. He was God there. He was God everywhere. Made no difference. So that's a nice place to be in, no matter, even if you are in a mental hospital. But, of course, not everybody in mental hospital is in good shape, but he was. So gradually but inevitably, this inner presence, our own true nature, which is basically inherently good, is uncovered. We're uncovering that. This is a very important thing to remember because we're not trying to make something happen. That doesn't last. You get a little hit, and this is great, and then you lose it, and you get depressed. Then it's up and down all the time. That's life, up and down all the time. But in there, it's always what it is. And that's what we're getting in touch with, little by little. And the more we turn towards that, the more we move towards that, the more relaxed our lives get, the more easy it is to deal with difficult situations, unhappy experiences, and the hard stuff that happens. But it's only through doing a practice that that's going to manifest. Period. Sorry. But that's the way it is. It doesn't have to be this practice. It just happens to be what we're doing today. Any practice that you do is good. And it's up to you to find out what you want to do. But do something. For Christ's sake. Do something. So the reason we repeat these names over and over again, it's because it's impossible for us to pay any attention to what we're doing. Impossible. So we keep repeating. And gradually we start to remember that we're actually doing something. And then we start very little by little, we start to pay attention to what we're doing. Pull in all the strands of our crazy stuff that's always going on and pay a little bit of attention for a very short period of time. If you try to do too much, you wind up going in the opposite direction for like weeks. I remember once I was driving across country with a friend of mine, and we decided, as we were leaving California, we decided we were going to eat macrobiotically going all across, driving across the states, right? So we got to like a Safeway in somewhere in the desert, in the Mojave Desert, right? And we went in and we bought rice and lentils and salt. And we made some kitchery, you know, some spices. It was so salty that for the next 4,000 miles, we only drank milkshakes. So that's what I mean. If you sit down with too much will, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to sit like, I'm going to... You're just kidding yourself. Do a little bit every day. But every day is really important. Every day. Or at least 364 out of 365. Take a day off, okay? All right, today's the day off. And tomorrow too. So a little bit where you really pay attention, where you're not doing anything else. You actually turn your phone off for 5 minutes. What could happen? Really, unless you're a doctor on call at the emergency ward, what could happen in 5 minutes? Right? Whatever it is, you'll be sitting there wondering about it for 5 minutes. Just notice the wondering, and you'll be doing fine. So, you know, Maharaji, my guru, he never, you know, he was very, he didn't tell us what to do. He didn't give us practices to do. He didn't say, sit down, watch your breath. He didn't say, do 10 million mantras. He didn't say, do this, do that. You know, he led us into the room where love lives. And we tasted what love really feels like, what it could be, unconditional love, what that is. And then we ourselves booted ourselves out of the room. And then we had to find a way back in. And so many of the people who were with him found different ways to live, doing different things in life. But all those people are very dedicated to living in that loving presence, which is a quality of our own true being. Loving presence. Everything we're looking for outside is really already in there. And we know what it is, but we don't know where to look or how to look. How to look is really the question. And you start by paying attention, by slowly pulling yourself back from all this, the crazy shit that goes on in our heads 24/7, just for a few minutes a day. It'll make a tremendous difference. And then you go live your life and be stupid. It doesn't matter. Then just a few minutes a day. After a while, you get used. You start to like that feeling of releasing and just being there. You start to look forward to that. And you begin to notice the stuff in your life that doesn't contribute to that. And then you start making choices based on that understanding that, well, you know, this is just going to create more bullshit. And so you do something else. You don't even realize it, but your whole life is starting to change around your desire to live in a more relaxed, open way. It just happens naturally. You don't have to, you can't plan it. It just happens because this is what we really want. If we really knew that we could have what we want, how different we would live, how differently the quality of our lives would unfold. Right? But we don't really believe. We don't really think any of it. We do yoga, meditation, all this crap, but you don't think it's going to work. Come on. Come on. Tell the truth. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get calmed down. Okay, I'll get the best button on the east side. Okay, the upper east side.
okay, the 10 blocks over there, I'll have the best. But we don't really think we're going to get happy. You know, that would be sinful. That we really believe that. It's scary. It's scary to be happy. You think, okay, now what? I'm happy. How bad is the crash going to be? You know? Well, you know, this is the mind. This is what our thoughts do to us. So by repeating these names, by doing a practice, first of all, while we're doing the practice, we're not robbing banks. We're not beating people up, except ourselves probably. There's a lot of things we aren't doing while we're doing a practice. And while we are doing the practice, we're planting these seeds of the repetition of the name. And the name is a direct reflection of that place within us. These names come from within. That's what they say. They come from within. They've been revealed to us here in this world by people who have experienced what they really are. And they tell us, here, do this, it'll bring you there. So there's people who have done this, and they've achieved what we would like to achieve. And you can meet these people. They exist, you know. The Dalai Lama was just here last week. Just to be in the room with them is an extraordinary experience. It's a blessing to meet people like that, because we don't see this every day, you know. And when we meet people like that, we go, wow, you know. And they say, if I can do it, you can do it. They never claim to be special. That's the thing. The real ones never claim to be special. He calls himself a simple monk. Right. I mean, I understand what he's saying, but he's also who he is. And it ain't so simple. Or it's completely simple. Simple monk, you know. So, yeah. Unless we see it, we don't believe it. So it takes getting used to living in a way that living with the understanding that we can get what we want in life. We can be happy. It's unbelievable. All right, so any questions or anything like that? It doesn't have to be a formal question. It could just be something you want to talk about.
I wanted to know if you relate the sounds to symbols at all. Or shapes.
Shapes and symbols. No. I just sing. It's very simple. I'm a simple guy. I sing. And I sleep and I eat and I do a few other things. And when I sing, I just sing. I don't think about anything. I don't visualize anything. I don't think about sound, yoga of sound, which is a very deep practice. And mantras and mandalas and all kinds of, those are all yogic tantric practices. But you know, I'm too busy singing. It's all good stuff, but you know, I just don't have time for that. I don't even have time to study music. I'm too busy singing. Because when you find what works for you, whatever that is. Yeah, that's it. You lose interest in other things in a good way, because you found something that nourishes you and is that you believe in, you know. And so everything else kind of falls away sooner or later. So the answer is no. I don't think about those things, and I don't know anything about them either. So that was great. Good. Very informative. No, I don't know anything about that. Ask me something else.
You said somewhere that the chant remembers you.
So, yeah.
Which mm-hmm. I thought was nice, but what did you mean by that?
When I remember, I'll tell you. What I mean is once you start doing this practice, the chants kind of go on by themselves sometimes. And you'll be driving along and all of a sudden you notice inside you're singing Sri Ram Jai Ram. And you don't know, you didn't like make a decision. Okay, now I'll sing Sri Ram Jai Ram. You notice that you've been singing it for the last 10 minutes without realizing it. So it starts to go on inside of you all the time.
And the more it goes on, the more it pulls you into yourself. But this is a very subtle practice. It's not, you know, this, the part of when we all get together and sing and jump up and down and look stupid, that's all fine. But what's going on is very deep and very subtle. And the changes that happen are very, they're kind of off the radar. You don't get a chance to kind of like, oh, wow, you know, yeah, look what's happening. Because you don't want to be that person. Right? So it keeps on going. So that's what I mean when the chant starts remembering you. You'll be doing stuff and then you see, oh, it's going on. Like I'll wake up in the morning and the chant's going on before I even, and I'll be laying there for X amount of time before I even realize that's what's happening. It's like that. And that's all good. It's all good. And that's a benefit. That's one of the things that starts to happen. Because if that's going on, by the way, then there's a lot of things that other can't be going on, like obsessive crazy thinking and all kinds of stuff that take us to all kinds of places, right? And we don't want to go to those places because they're painful. So as this practice gets deeper, we just don't go to a lot of those places where we used to live, you know, or we used to love to go because they turn out to be painful. So we wind up spending less time in negative states of mind. But you don't necessarily notice that. That's the cool part about it. If you notice it, then you just do a big ego trip on it. Wow, I'm spending less time in negative states of mind. I must be very high. You know, bullshit, you know. But so you don't, it doesn't, that's why chanting is so cool, because you don't think you're meditating. You don't sit there like, I'm meditating. No, you're just singing, you know? But it is meditation. It is spiritual practice. So.
Thank you for listening to the Krishna Das Pilgrim Heart Hour. We really appreciate your support and hope you'll continue that support by going to mindpodnetwork.com/KD and clicking on the donate button or using our Amazon.com portal for all of your purchases. Thank you. Namaste.